cliffcentral.com. Coming to you live from the top of a three-story building. Well, two stories plus the roof. In Rivonia, Johannesburg. Across the world through the powers of the magic of the internet. Your small, impressionable children can find us on their cellular phones. Old perverts can find us on the internet on their laptops or desktops or mobile phones if they can remember to dial the right things and press the right buttons. It's not hard. Ask not what Cliff Central can do for you. Ask what you can do to spread the word of Cliff Central. Yes. Good morning, bitches. How's everybody today? Are we good?
Yeah.
What's happening? Hey, my buddy.
It's a Thursday.
Yes. I was saying to Mubs, we need to reinstitute Puzza Thursdays. I mean, you know, things are going to shit, really, in terms of the economy. So people are a little depressed. So I was thinking, you know, why not? Why? In the words of Jerry Seinfeld, why don't we start to drink?
What if it happened to us? Did we just become older, or did Puzza Thursday just fall away?
I don't know. I kind of lost interest in Puzza Thursday. I lost interest in getting drunk on a Thursday. But I think we should reintroduce it. Not necessarily that you get hammered out of control. I mean, you know, we're not children.
No.
But that you have a few drinks on a Thursday. You know your tolerance.
But the cool thing about getting old, if you're not in Puzza Thursday mindset anymore, is that the older you get, the quicker you get drunk. So every time you drink, you get drunk. How cool is that?
Yeah, you know what? I wish you wouldn't bring up age so much there, Matlock.
Well, I'm talking to you, so obviously it's relevant.
Yes. Flex, good morning.
I think we need to start tequila time.
Oh, on a Thursday?
Well, tequila time's any time.
Hmm. Not in the day. I can't do that.
Day drinking.
Oh.
I can't drink tequila, period.
No, you don't anymore, huh?
I know my weakness. It kicks me around, smashes me around like a tennis ball being smashed around on a court.
Mm.
See, that's what vodka does to me.
No, tequila's my friend. I can still do tequila just about in any... I did it in the Western Hemisphere just last week. And I loved it. Anyway, so Sia left yesterday to go and begin his travels.
Who?
Sia, oh man, Sia Sangweni Finn, and before he could even pick up his bag, Pashida had taken his seat and decided to come and sit here in on the show. Yeah.
I didn't take his seat.
You did. You took his seat. Look at you sitting there now, all smug.
It's very comfortable.
Yeah.
Pashida, that seat never got a chance to get cold.
No.
You know, it's not my fault. You see an opportunity, you seize it.
Yeah, well, that's what smart people do, so I commend you. All right, so Color says, morning, guys. Please tell us why Sia left. Is it permanent? His touch of class is going to be missed in the mornings. Now you need a British correspondent.
Oh, my.
Sia was our British correspondent? Somebody somebody should have told me that when he was here. look, there's no controversy. Sia wants to explore the world. And, you know, he went straight from school. What you got to remember here is Sia is 21 years old.
He's still a baby.
Well, he was when he joined us. I mean, Mubs will remember. He came in there when we were still at 5FM and we were sitting in the studio and I brought him in.
This was straight out of matric for him, right?
That he straight came out of matric.
Yeah.
And he was like a fly on the wall during all of that chaos with management and my resignation and what we were going to do with the team and all the meetings. And I mean, Sia was on the inside.
Definitely.
And the kid, I mean, his eyes were popping out of his head in the first 2 weeks of being with us. And then he started working here at Cliff Central with us. And that was his first job. He was studying at the same time. And he came to us about a month and a half ago and said, look, I want to get out there and explore the world. And I think that's a very good thing for anyone to do when they in their 20s. I think it's essential.
Completely.
I'm very bitter about the fact that I went straight from school into university, straight from university into school, with overlaps on school and, I mean, university and work. I don't know what it is to have... The longest holiday I ever had was my matric holiday. It's probably the longest holiday a lot of people have had. But I kind of wish, you know, that my parents had said to me, here's some money, go and travel the world. I mean, who doesn't? But they didn't even look at me. They didn't even think about it. There was no question in my mind that from the moment I left school, I was going to pay for everything.
Yeah, but Gareth, if that had happened, you might have impregnated a Peruvian woman, and then you wouldn't be here today. Who knows what would have happened?
A Peruvian?
No.
If you go travel the world with gay abandon, you know, these kind of things could happen.
Yeah, but maybe. Ben, you forget, he didn't go and impregnate a Peruvian woman. He impregnated a woman from, which province is it again?
Oh, the Northwest.
The Northwest instead.
Yeah, some rural.
So he still got it wrong.
Some rural chick, yeah.
Yeah.
So I managed to thread that into my... But well, the point is with Sia, I mean, the guy, he needs to get out there. So he's apparently booked a flight to India.
Ooh.
And he's going to live on a beach. It sounds horrible. He's going to live on a beach... And he's going to go and spend time in this temple. I mean, he's probably going to come back with a shaved head and an orange robe.
I'll tell you what, he will test the resolve of any Indian namaste person who is a waiter. Can you imagine? Because he's in a battle with that food.
When he asks for...
What's that? Can I get that? Oh. But not so much of that.
I'll tell you what, if he ever had to go into a monastery, they'd kick him out in 3 days.
Yeah, they would.
Just because of his ordering regime.
There'd be like centuries of vows of silences left, right, and center, and it'll break on Sia.
And it would break with swear words. You've been to restaurants with him. I mean, he's impossible, right?
He is impossible to order for, but I'm sure in India he'll be able to find something to eat on the beach, even if he cooks it himself.
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know if that's going
to
happen.
But I think it's very important to take a gap year, because there's so many lessons you learn from life itself that you need to carry on with life.
I'm going to have to find theme music for when Flax drops Pearls of Wisdom.
Like, I regret not taking a gap year, but in my parents' eyes, gap years don't exist. You go straight from school to varsity to job.
My parents, too. That if I'd said gap year, there would have been pandemonium.
I mean,
I don't even think they know what that is. They didn't know what it is for my brother or my sister either. So they didn't get any softer with time. Mubs, if you told your dad I want to take a gap year, how hard would he have kicked you in the butt out of his house?
He would have first kicked me in the butt, and then he would have laughed at me and said, I'm teaching you important lessons about life, my child.
Right.
Don't say stupid things, because you will get kicked in the ass.
Oh, man. Monique says, Gareth, just so you know, if you leave, I will shit my pants, so don't even think about it. Well, I'm not going anywhere. I mean, this is, you know, we're building this business together.
Monique, has that happened before?
What?
Has she shat her pants before?
Oh.
Back to what Kala said, I think a little British dude would be so funny on the show.
Well, we got to find the right guy.
Just like one straight out of a James Bond movie, but he must be shorter than me. Also, skinny, skinny, skinny.
Why? What's the idea there?
It's just...
You think all short, skinny British dudes are funny? What's that all about?
No, you can't go wrong with short British dudes.
Really?
Like, I'll draw you a picture exactly what I'm looking for, and then we can find that.
All right, find me a picture. Vaynant says, I've just gargled whiskey and honey to try and sort out my voice. Does that count as Puzza Thursday?
Yep.
Mm.
I thought I was getting sick last night, and I warded it off. I said, I'm not going to get sick, and I'm not allowing this to happen. So I went off, did some exercise, and I feel better. Anushka says, morning, I went to listen to Dr. DeMartini last night. I had him sign my book after he mentioned he's on the show. He was on the show one morning. Can't wait. I also can't wait to resign next month and do me. That guy inspired me beyond belief. I have to be my own boss and make that dough. Yes. Well, just be careful. It's not all it's cracked up to be. Flax, Graham wants you to please say the word V-O-D-K-A.
Vodka.
Vodka.
What's wrong?
No, you say it like the Russians.
Vodka.
Vodka.
One day I drank too much and I woke up with a Russian accent.
So now you can never say vodka. You have to say vodka.
Vodka and pizza.
Pizza. We met all these Russians in Silicon Valley. There was one night where we had the Silicon Valley Open Doors conference thing. We met all these Russians. And this guy goes up and he's on a microphone and then he's got a cowbell.
Okay.
And he goes, Okay, everybody, be quiet now. We're going to bring you someone on this stage. Where are my girls? And I went, oh, yes, this is what I think it is. Russia, my girls, cowbell. I'm thinking strippers, right?
Okay.
No such thing.
What was it?
It's like some chick pitching her business at us.
Oh.
I was so disappointed.
Well, I mean, it was at Open Doors. You know, you could go to any strip club for that kind of action.
Hey, there are a lot of Bill Cosby memes going on at the moment that are very, very funny. There's one of Bill Cosby leaning back in his chair, and it says, I could have tranquilized that gorilla.
Oh, okay. That's good. That's a good one.
Yes. All right, so there's lots to talk about today. We don't have Justice. We usually have Justice Milan on a Thursday. He is going to be in flight. He's in the air at the time we're meant to speak to him. So we're going to chat to him and catch up with him tomorrow. I hope that doesn't throw out your schedule too much. But the burning platform will be tomorrow. We've got a very, very hard-hitting interview with a girl called Michelle Hutting, who's written a book. And I know this sounds heavy, but you know as well as I do, when we get into people's stories, sometimes we discover really, really interesting things, not only about them and ourselves, but sometimes about the society we live in. And the book is called I'm the Girl Who Was Raped. It's heavy going, but she's got a fascinating story. She was actually raped on the very day she delivered her psychology honors paper on rape. Isn't that horrible?
Shush.
Yeah. And she's got some very interesting opinions on, you know, the word survivor and whether that should apply here. And she's launched her book. She launched it on the 28th of April, and we'll find out all about her and her story. That's Michelle Hutting coming in later on. We'll also talk to Nikki Friedman. He's going to pop by and tell us about some of the latest products that we should all know about, cool gadgets and things that we might or might not know about that we need to have. I see Ben is sporting a pair of wooden headphones.
They're nice, huh?
Yeah, very nice. Mm. Flax, you were meant to remind me I was meant to bring you a pair of headphones, right? Do you remember that?
I must note that when Gareth borrowed Ben's headphones yesterday, Gareth pointed out how big Ben's head is.
Yes. Do you have to get a special expander belt there on the top of your head?
Well, basically, you just extend until it doesn't anymore, and then you work out if they're going to work or not.
And when you try these on in the shop, do people kind of look at you, almost like if Quasimodo had to walk into Truworths and try on a shirt?
I never try it on. I just pull it apart and see how it goes, and then just make a judgment call.
Yes. Okay, so I was talking about something important there for a second, and now I've gone completely blank.
I thought you were done talking about
important
things.
No, something important I wanted to talk about.
Oh, dear.
Oh, yeah, so Ben's headphones. Mm. I was on this long flight, and I tried these wireless headphones, you know, the Bluetooth ones.
Yeah.
Oh, they're fantastic. I have to recommend to anybody who's traveling, doing any long-term, you know, kind of long flights over 10 hours or whatever, you have got to get a pair of noise-canceling headphones. And even better if you can get them without cords, because then if you do fall asleep, you don't have cables and things, you know, getting all tangled up around you. But they cancel all that of the airplane when you're flying.
Mm-hmm.
And all the noise around you in the cabin. You don't have any children screaming. Or that...
Pop.
I had this Dutch woman sitting next to me on the way here from Amsterdam to South Africa. I don't know if this is mean, but... You know, you get people who just look plain. They look so plain, it's almost as if they were never created with any features. They weren't given any quirkiness in their look. Like, there was nothing supremely interesting, attractive, unattractive. She was the plainest woman in the world. It was like a potato, and they bolted on a nose and they put on some eyes, and she was the most plain looking woman and grumpy.
It's like the difference between a simple pencil drawing and then a drawing with cokey pens and color and wax crayons.
She was pencil drawing, thank you. Exactly. It's a pencil drawing. The most boring looking woman. I looked at her. She must have thought there was something wrong with me. I looked at her. I thought, what is going on here? I need to analyze this woman's head. Because she had short, mousy hair. She had the plainest face I've ever seen. It was as if no one had taken any trouble at any point to give her anything interesting in her visage. There was nothing to look at. unremarkable eyes, unremarkable. She had a nose because you have to have a nose. She had a mouth because you have to have a mouth. She could just as well have been a clay toy, like action figure. But zero going on there. And no expression in her face either. You know, you get people who are unattractive, but they've got a very happy face, or they've got a very, you know, welcoming, attractive look to them, even if they're not classically beautiful. So I'm not trying to be, as I usually am, superficial and shallow. This woman was plain. I just imagine that everything in her life is very plain. I suddenly pictured her doing very plain and boring things every day. She goes to the shops and she gets the exact same stuff every day. She travels the exact same route to work. She probably has a job in, I don't know, maybe she works in the courtroom. She's one of those stenographers who hits those dunk, 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 dunk buttons when the... Something boring. She does something boring. Maybe she's the accountant for a fast food outlet or something. I can't work it out in my head, but she looked to me like someone who was boring.
But looks can be deceiving. She could be some sort of secret agent.
Well, she'd be the right one, I'll tell you that, because no one will ever see her coming. You wouldn't know it if you met her.
But why was she grumpy, though? Because you said she was plain and grumpy.
I don't know. You know when you smile at somebody and they don't smile back?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're on a plane. I mean, you know, you got to sit next to this woman for a whole 12-hour trip or whatever it is. So you look at each other and you go, and you kind of nod your head and you smile. I mean, I'm a friendly guy. And she just glared back at me. Like, oh, don't upset my bubble of plane. I don't know. Very strange woman. Lindsay says, on the topic of Sia going off for a gap year, I had no idea what I wanted to study after school, so my parents told me to take a gap year to figure it out. Best decision ever. All parents should give their kids the option to take a gap year. All parents can't afford to do that, first of all. And even if they did, I think that that's a waste of time. If we have a whole bunch of people after school all taking gap years, we're going to have a useless layabout bunch of parasites on the economy. Everybody needs to work.
Yeah, that affordability thing is probably the biggest reason why there's so many people who don't take a gap year.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't have probably ever got back into work. I might have become a beach bum, like Sia's going to do now. Andrew says, morning, guys. Just want to say thanks for the great show. I don't know how you have the balls to wake up so early on these winter mornings to give us great entertainment. I salute you. You make my days better, but I find it difficult to get out of bed in cold Cape Town. That's Andrew Nyazvigo. And Inati says, Yoji, you're being mean about that plain woman. Gareth, the team built up the gifts from the USA. What happened? Did you get them anything? It's a part of your travel that we look forward to and usually is disappointing for all parties involved. But still, we need to know. So, I got kind of plain presents for you guys. They were from an interesting place. I brought you pens and things from Google and Facebook. Ben got a Google pen. Mark's got a Facebook pen.
We missed the things part of that.
What?
Well, you said pens and things.
Oh, I got key rings and stuff too. Okay. But
I had left early.
Yeah, I decided not to do. You thought there was more?
Well,
is that why you were hanging around till lunchtime?
Yeah.
You were just waiting for more?
No,
poor Ben, I handed out the Facebook pens.
No, I often hang around here till lunchtime.
And there weren't any left, so I had to give him a Google one.
The Google one's way better. Yeah. Like 10 times better.
But what a fine pen, that Facebook pen is. It writes beautifully. Kat lent her mind to fill in some form. Writes pretty well. I didn't know that they had quality control, even in their pens. Huh? Who knew? Huh. Well, I'm sorry, is that a shitty present?
No, you see, Flex built it up in his head that you were going to bring him back something grand. And I said to him, don't hold your breath, Flex, why would you deserve something grand?
Plus, you know, I've realized now, because I've got all of you as kind of my other family now, and I have to bring all of you presents every time I go anywhere.
No, this is where you're wrong. You bring just us because we're your favorites. You must always show favoritism in life. It makes other people work harder.
Can you imagine how angry, for example, Kat would have been?
That's half the point, Gareth.
If I'd given you and Mabali something.
And you know how happy that makes Mabali when Kat is angry.
No, you can't have a favorite child.
You have to. That's how life works.
So, well, Ben, just because you were left out in the wild doesn't mean that that's
to
the
raise
right way
yourself
to,
like, to, you are Mowgli.
That's why he likes the Jungle Book story so much. So I've got you what is it, 15 people to buy stuff for. And then I got to get my actual family. They really got very crap presents this time. I feel kind of bad about not getting the best presents ever, but also there's no time on this trip. There was absolutely no time to do any shopping.
I just love how my Google Pen, it's all white and it says Google on it, right? It looks great. And then on the side it just says China.
Well, China make everything, even Donald Trump's ties.
China.
Hugo says, hey, Gareth, how come when you host the show, it starts late, and when Ben and Mubs host, it starts on time? Oh, Hugo. Mm. Yeah. All right. You know what? I have no idea, Hugo. I don't know how that happens. I wish I could tell you.
It's a big mystery, Hugo.
It's a huge mystery. It's shrouded in the clouds of time. Did I tell you I've managed to get through Vikings season 3 and I'm ready to hit season 4 now? But I watched Game of Thrones last night.
Okay.
Episode 6. Yeah. The Khaleesi. Oh, come on, Ben. Things are getting exciting.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She's taken command again.
Yeah.
Right? And she's hopping on her dragons.
Right.
Okay.
And that little girl, the girl has no name.
Oh, yeah, that one.
That she's finally got her personality back. Something might happen there. Plus, you got to meet, you know that fat guy from the wall?
Yes.
Sam, or whatever his name is, who killed the White Walker.
Yes.
The fat guy from the wall. You meet his family. What a douchebag his dad is.
Oh, just
what
hates,
a misery.
Hates him because he didn't do well in sword fighting in school and stuff.
And
because
he's fat.
Mm. And he's fat, yeah. Outcast.
And he's gone and brought home a wildling.
Yes, that never goes down well.
It's just...
You know, once when I brought a wildling home, my parents chased me out as well. You can't bring wildlings home.
Nope.
But he talks about this wildling like a... I mean, he's sitting at the table, and this won't spoil the show for you, so don't give me shit, please. I can already tell there are going to be messages. Ah, spoiler alert. There's no spoiler in this. He's sitting at the table, and he sees this fat son of his come in, and he's got this wildling. He's like, I don't want to eat with that at my table. I mean, it's unsettling. I know that that's how people used to talk about each other. Even in this country, not so long ago. But it's unsettling to see it in a TV show because you're not used to it, you know. People really, if you think about even how badly we treat each other now, and we do obviously still treat each other pretty badly as human beings, men and women and races and all the rest of it. But when you see it on a show like that, it's kind of upsetting, you know. You remember that that's how human beings have been with each other for tens of thousands of years.
But
it's disappointing.
But in the fat guy's defense, right, in Game of Thrones land, where do you meet a nice girl? You've either got to be royalty.
You've got to go north of the wall.
Or the women are prostitutes, let's be honest.
Right.
So these wildlings, actually maybe that's the social bet. Because Jon Snow met a wildling, he was happy for a couple of hours.
Right.
Shame. Shame.
Well, I mean, the
Shame.
Only impressive girl would be the Khaleesi, but the Khaleesi Shame. Is way above all the men's league.
She's adamant.
Like, she's too out of their league.
And the Khaleesi, I don't even think she has not had a single bit of action since back in that pyramid. That's the last time I think she got any action. That Khaleesi must be gagging for it right now. I mean, she could really just... Isn't she in charge of all those horsemen now?
Well, that's what I'm thinking, because she's in a position to put all these men on a rotation.
Yeah, she could have all
so
different
could,
one a day.
Yeah, she could keep herself busy.
You should see in Vikings, there's this one queen of the one English... sort of kingdom.
Yes,
sister, she put out, she loves the D. She is lying back and opening those legs. It's like a swing door in a hurricane.
Like violently so though.
Oh, she loves it. She is so into it. It's so good to see a woman portrayed with some sexual appetite in one of those shows, because they're bound to have been women throughout history who were horny all the time, right?
Sure.
And if you were a queen of a kingdom, you could have as much as you wanted.
Yeah.
You could have the soldiers, you could have the nobles, you could have... I mean, she had everybody. She even banged other kings. For fun. That queen, I can't even remember her name now, but she puts out Yeah. Good for her.
You're a whore. Hey. I can't be in love with a whore. I can't have children with a whore. How many men have you been with? 500? 5,000?
Yes, that's true.
See, so don't knock the wildling choice.
All right, it's time for us to get into Ben's sport. We're going to go straight into that this morning. Let us see what we can catch up with. And we're heading towards the weekend. It's Thursday morning. Here's Ben Karpinski with everything you need to know. You want to find out more, you can go to thebounce.co.za. Follow him on Twitter at followthebounce.
Indeed. Well, Gareth, we're going to start with something that's probably the sports headline of the year.
Oh,
and I don't
really
say that very, very lightly.
Uh-oh. No, no, no. This is big.
This is very big.
Is this bigger than the FIFA gate?
Well, it's kind of funnier, Mobs. It's interesting to see how this... Anyway, PGA Tour moving event at Doral Course owned by Donald Trump to Mexico.
Oh, I see what you mean. It's controversial. It's not the biggest headline ever. You build it up, Ben.
This year, have you got a better sports story this year than Donald Trump's
event?
How
about the Zika virus? All these pinheaded people coming out of Mexico.
That's not a sports story.
No?
That's a small head story. Huh? This is sport. Hence the feature that I do here.
Fair enough.
Donald Trump, of course, we all know how he feels about Mexicans. They're all rapists and criminals
and that kind of stuff.
So Donald has or had this like flagship event on the US PGA Tour at Doral, Trump Doral, right? So it's a WGC event. And as Mubs and I were discussing last week, it's quite a difficult event to kind of sponsor because you need someone to basically cough $10 million. And nobody wants to really cough that kind of money nowadays, especially if it's at Trump Doral.
Yeah.
So it's quite difficult. So what the PGA Tour have done is, look, the contracts come up here. Nobody really wants to come in. You haven't got a sponsor.
Right.
So we're taking it somewhere else. And to Mexico City, this now goes. So Donald, obviously, not happy.
No, he wants to... What does he want to do? Ban golf?
Well, no, this is...
Golfers vote for Bernie Sanders. I hate golfers.
This is a statement that he released yesterday. Again, the story gets funnier. It's a sad day for Miami. Of course, he's taking the whole political high donkey here.
Yeah, poor Miami.
It's a sad day for Miami, the United States, and the game of golf to have the PGA Tour consider moving the World Golf Championship, which has been hosted in Miami for the last 55 years, to Mexico. No different than Nabisco Carrier, and so many other American companies. The PGA Tour has put profit ahead of thousands of American jobs.
Oh, wow. Like, you haven't done that every step of the way.
Blow it out your ass, Donald.
I love the way Donald says that suddenly putting profit ahead of something is bad.
Yeah.
This is the guy who's made a reputation on firing people in a reality TV show and mercilessly profiteering on the people of New York in terms of property. How dare he?
Yeah, so as of next year, the WGC that normally takes place at Trump Doral will be in Mexico City. And it would really be funny if then an Asian guy on top of that wins. So, there's not enough good Mexican golfers, but it'd be really funny if then someone who wasn't even more on Donald's anti-wish list was to win this whole title. So very good. Donald is now pissed off because he used to have that. He hasn't got that anymore. People in Ireland and Scotland hate him because of the golf courses he has there. So all around, Donald. Right.
Nice story, Ben.
Into football. You know, Lionel Messi doesn't just dodge defenders. He also dodges tax, apparently.
Oh, yeah, you told me. But that was his dad's fault, right?
That's it what was, Gareth. But now the thing is, he's actually having his day in court. So Messi has to now appear in court in Barcelona.
And he can't send his dad?
Well, his dad seems to be... The thing is, like, if you become rich, right? Now, we've seen it with child actors. We've seen it with sports stars. We saw it with Brian Abana's dad, even locally. Don't get family involved in these kind of things. It seldom ever works out. And if it's your dad who didn't amount to much and basically put all his eggs in your basket, then something bad's going to happen. So anyway, it doesn't sound actually as sinister when you really get into it. So basically, the whole thing with Jose Mourinho last week was about image rights. Okay, so he sold image rights to Chelsea, and money was set up in a certain way so that he would accrue interest in that kind of stuff. But Chelsea essentially owned his name and his signature. So all these top players, anyone who's in high-profile sports, they all have image rights revenues.
Okay.
So what Messi did, along with his previous financial advisors, who mysteriously stopped working for him after this whole scandal broke. Purely coincidental, I'm sure. Yeah. So basically, between him and the dad, they said, okay, well, we need to channel this money offshore into like a tax haven. So for some strange reason, Uruguay was the tax haven back then, okay?
Oh,
so
right.
2008, 2009, they channeled a whole bunch of money into this, which was completely fine because you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to invest offshore. It's not a crime. So what did happen after that was it was never declared as part of his whole wealth statements. So when he was doing real audits and stuff, and people were saying...
It wasn't on the balance sheet.
Exactly. So it wasn't really there. So as much as it was above board, it wasn't declared in the correct manner. So now Messi has to go to court. And if all things goes barely up here, he could spend up to 2 years in jail.
Oh, my God.
Although in Spain, if you're a first-time offender and you've got a sentence of 2 years or less, you can get a suspended sentence. And obviously there's the money that he would have missed out on in tax has to be paid back. So obviously he's not going to go to jail. But now there's other things coming up. Barcelona is saying this is a conspiracy to try and, you know, smear Barcelona's players into like these kind of things. Anyway, so he will be at Copa America. He's just going to be in court today, but then he'll go to the USA to join the rest of his team and get what he hasn't actually got forever.
What a thing that would be if they sent Messi to jail. Can you imagine?
Yeah. Well, it would be quite a special jail. But yeah, so he's not going to go to jail, but his case is coming to a head, basically. Just like that, huh?
Wow, so don't cheat your taxes.
You mustn't.
They always say that the one thing you'll never, ever get away with is trying to cheat the tax man. It's the one place you will always lose.
Because as the saying goes, follow the money, and you always can in life. And there's always a trail, so just don't do it, I guess. Into tennis, there was finally some play at Roland Garros. No roof needed here. Sunshine came out and there wasn't much rain. So the women's draw, that's kicking on. We've got Muguruza versus Stosur. That's the one semi.
Muguruza.
And then Serena pulverized this girl. It was mean. It was 6-1, 6-1. She now takes on Putnetsova.
I saw that chick. She basically crawled in there. And, I mean, it didn't take long for Serena to put paid to any ideas she had of being... around.
It just wasn't nice.
Yeah, she went down the toilet.
So she absolutely hammered it. Now, Putnetsova.
What?
Do it again.
Putnetsova. No, it's Putnetsova.
Putnetsova. No way.
P-U-T-I-N.
Putin.
Okay.
Like Putin, yeah.
Seva. T-S-E-V-A.
Oh, Putnetsova.
Putnetsova. Putnetsova.
What a name.
And then, okay, so that's going to be Serena's quarterfinal opponent, right? And then we've got...
Serena will mow her down as well.
Eat her alive. And then we've got Baczynski versus Bertens, okay? So Bertens is Dutch. Baczynski beats Venus Williams. So there's going to be no semi-final between the Williams sisters there. Wow. So that's what the women's draw looks like at the moment. And
you know, Venus is still hanging in there, huh?
Yeah, she's still good for a fourth rounder. Yeah, she's enjoying her tennis. Now, in the men's draw, Andy Murray will take on Stan Wawrinka. Now, Wawrinka came into this tournament with tiny shorts and little hope. But now he's playing his way into form again. Of course, he is. I mean, his shorts are tiny. This is like Australian rules kind of stuff.
Such short shorts?
Wait a minute.
What's that all about?
Isn't he the reigning champion, though?
He is indeed, Max. Yeah. Yeah, he's the reigning champion, but he's got tiny shorts. Anyway, so he's going to take on Murray in the semis, okay? Murray's got a better overall record, but Wawrinka has
much longer shorts.
Yeah, he's got longer shorts. Well, he has to because, you know, he's got that very pale ginger skin, so you can't
No one wants to see that, yeah.
You can't expose too much to the UV rays. Anyway, so Wawrinka's got the wood over Murray when it comes to clay, though, and recent matches. So that could be Wawrinka into another final. Who knows? He's the oldest guy since Jimmy Connors back in the 70s to actually make a semi.
Wow.
He's old. He's 31.
Old guys do struggle getting semis.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, not since the 70s has one been so old. And then on the other side of the draw, which has been more rain effect, we've got Djokovic versus Berdych. Djokovic dropped a set in his previous match, but he then just thrashed the dude to the next three. And then we've got Thiem versus Goffin, or Thiem. Thiem. Who cares? Neither of these guys are going to beat Djokovic eventually when they get there. So that's the other side of the draw. So Djokovic,
your philosophy, just to get this right, is that you don't bother learning a name if you don't think they're going to make it very far.
Well, because then I don't want to trouble you with the details against know this person who's not going to be around.
Right.
It's like when you're in a single parent home and your mom brings back all kinds of strays. You don't get to know them too much until they really hang around.
Yeah, you don't want to know your mom's strays.
Yeah, exactly. So it's the same in tennis and the rest of the world of sport. So that's what the French Open is looking like. It's looking on course to have an action-packed weekend ahead. So if the rain could just stay away, everything will be as usual this weekend, and hopefully Italy, you'll see the big seeds pounding everything out
if
of each other.
If the rain stays away, because as you pointed out yesterday, the French don't put up the roof.
They don't. They don't. And they don't care about you twisting an ankle or anything like that. They just don't care. In cricket, yeah, a bit of a depressing story this, okay? So we all know the Proteas can't follow through in the field. Well, it looks like Cricket South Africa can't follow through off the field either. There was an investigation that was put together, right, to basically work out why the Proteas are so cuck nowadays. You know, we lost to England in the test matches, another failed ICC tournament. Ugh, and then
if they'd asked you instead of putting a commission together, what would you have said?
I'm actually going to write about it today, seeing as these guys haven't got the... They couldn't be bothered to do it. Someone's got to do it. So I would take it upon myself to write the investigation. It'll take...
That's nice of you,
it'll
Ben.
Take an hour. It'll cost 0 cents. And it will be for public consumption. So CSA, you can thank me later. Anyway, what they did was they put together this commission, okay?
Right.
And there were some decent people. I'm not going to name too many names here or reveal any too much information. But essentially, they were putting in guys like Francois Pienaar, ex-cricketers, because they wanted to get the bottom of this. You know, like, what's happening? Are they winning the transformation thing? Because you notice they're one of the federations that have been banned from hosting international events because they haven't fulfilled their obligations towards transformation.
Right.
Anyway, so turns out not only did this whole investigation not finish, it never even started. People were saying, oh, yeah, you know, I'm busy here. It's like, I mean, there's more success for our team meetings here at Cliff Central than this CSA thing.
Sounds like it.
No one could get together, get the times together. Yeah, it's just absolute bollocks. So what's happened is, like everything else in SS Sport at the moment, they're just going to plaster over the cracks and move on and say, you know, we're going to give 110% and everything will be okay, praise Jesus, all that kind of stuff. Marvelous. But there are massive cracks here in cricket. And unfortunately, they had an opportunity here to kind of get to the bottom of a couple of things. And like I said, they did actually have some really good people involved in this that were kind of meant to be involved in this, but it never got underway. So now we go into the West Indian series. Obviously, we've got to put this whole thing on hold. It's now being completely abandoned. And then after that, there's test matches to be played and all kinds of other things. So nothing's going to come of it. Nothing's going to come of it whatsoever. Russell Domingo will probably just keep on smiling awkwardly in press conferences and will essentially just win nothing, as is always the case.
Shame.
It is a bit of a shame.
Sad story.
It is a sad story. It's so sad. It's so frustrating. Anyway, so for a tournament that we're not going to win next year, that's the Champions Trophy. That's in 2017. It'll be held in England between June 1st and 18th. It'll be mostly rained out, and it'll be interesting. Group A, we've got England, Australia, New Zealand, and Bangladesh. So the Champions Trophy is essentially the World Cup because it takes the 8th best ranked teams in one-day cricket and doesn't worry around the minnows. And this is how the ICC would actually like it, because the minnows are very inconvenient. You know, they're poor. They're needy. They create far too much attention away from the big teams. So,
as if it isn't bad enough to be called minnows.
I know. So the ICC don't like these minnow people. They really don't. So the Champions Trophy is right up the alley. The Champions Trophy was actually meant to come to an end last time round. Okay, so India are the defending champs. And then the ICC were like, well, hang on a second. Let's just keep this going, because then it just means that we can hang out with more of our rich teams. Don't have to worry about those
and
dirty
make more,
ones.
And make more money out of them,
exactly,
obviously.
Exactly. So they like this kind of thing. Group B, South Africa are paired with all the subcontinental teams, India, Pakistan, and Sri Lanka. So that will take place in June next year in England. The top two from each pool will go into the semis, which will take place on June 14 and 15. And then June 18 will be the final, where even if South Africa do get into that final, which I highly doubt, it'll be a heartbreaking end to it, because we can't have an investigation follow through as to why we are cuck and why we don't win things. So hopes, as you can see, are pretty quite low there. Into basketball. We're into the NBA Finals. Finally, it's happened. NBA Final time. And as expected, Golden State Warriors are going to be taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers. So the first game will take place in the early hours of Friday morning. So around sort of 2:30 in the morning, SA time.
Yep.
And then game two will take place Monday, 2:30, same sort of time. So we... Thursday night, Sunday night for Americans. So Golden State, we all know they're amazing, right? They eclipsed the Chicago Bulls' record this year. They finished the regular season with a 73-9 record. So 73 wins, 9 losses.
Right.
The Cleveland Cavaliers on the other side, because they're the Eastern Conference, the Golden State of the Western Conference, they had some heavy going of it. They had to fire their coach because they got absolutely hammered by the Golden State Warriors. So their record was 57-25, okay? 57 wins, 25 losses. But they did manage to get all the way into the Eastern Conference Finals. They managed to win that, and now they are ready to go. They haven't won this thing yet, right? They haven't won an NBA title. LeBron James obviously going to champion this cause. He's won twice with Miami, and now he wants to win one with the Cavs. Golden State, they were 1-3 down to Oklahoma City Thunder in the Western Conference Final, but they managed to take it to Game 7, and they did win. They, of course, have Steph Curry, who's incredible, and they will go into this as the favorites. So that all starts this weekend. If you like basketball, if you want to get involved in basketball, this is the weekend to do it, because you've got the two teams that everyone kind of talks about the most, and they have made it into the finals. So it's a rematch of last year's final, which Golden State won, and it's going to be Steph Curry versus LeBron James and a whole bunch of other guys who are really, really great. The cool thing about these teams is that obviously you get those two guys, but the more you watch, the more you realize how great these teams are and how amazingly skilled these players are. Really, it's a really cool sport to watch. It's very fast. There's a lot of scoring involved. So that'll be from this weekend onwards. And in golf, the Muirfield Village hosting the Memorial this weekend. 30 of the world's top 50 players in the field, 6 out of the top 10. So that is going to be a lot of quality golf there. And rugby, well, there is no rugby news because we're having a bit of a break before next week, where it goes into internationals, left, right, and center.
Huh. All right. And Ben found a brilliant song for Anthea for this morning. I like this. Can I play it?
Well, in general, yeah. So that's your sport today.
Right, thank you, Ben. Listen to this, Anthea. It's amazing how many versions of this song there are. Amazing. Lucha por su dinero. Mira por su dinero. Lucha por su dinero y no lo dejan escapar. Right. Lucha por su dinero. Mira por su dinero. Lucha por su dinero y no lo dejan escapar. Wow, huh? Amazing. What do you think of that, Anthea?
I love it.
That's nice,
and have you heard the chorus in English as well?
Oh, you know this version.
I do.
You did a lot while you were away, Gareth.
All right, hang on. Let's listen to this a little bit. Oh, so you've already played this one.
Yeah, but you must get to the chorus. It really does become quite something.
All right, let's take a listen quickly. Anthea, chill a second. Let's get into your song. There's your song, Anthea.
That is so much fun. That
Very
song.
Nice. All right. So, what's happening?
Okay. So, markets are feeling a bit tentative at the moment. Lots of big data coming out this week. We've got, obviously, the credit rating agency on Friday. We've got, in the U.S., non-farm payrolls, ISM manufacturing. And today, OPEC starts their meeting in Vienna.
Okay. So, is that good or bad news, this OPEC meeting? And what do we expect to come of it? Because this could, you know... They're dealing with supply and demand problems.
Exactly. So it's the biannual scheduled meeting. So it's not one of those extraordinary meetings that they call when they think the world is falling apart. So I think they're okay with it. I think they're happy that the lower oil prices are eradicating supply and production. So kind of it's working in their favor, really. And the less... The countries that supply oil or produce oil at higher levels have stopped producing, which means it'll take away excess in the market, and therefore
the price should go up.
Oh, well done. Yes, exactly. There you go. Which they like, which they want. So I don't think they'll make any changes. I don't think that they'll cap production at this stage, so that's fine. And then, of course, non-farm payrolls tomorrow in the U.S. If we get a good number, and if the U.S. are producing jobs, or creating jobs, sorry, is the word, then there's more chance of a rate hike in the U.S. You'll see the rand weaken, and that could be a concern, of course. So it's all about event risk this week. So markets are kind of holding their breath right now.
So selfishly, we actually hope that unemployment goes up in America.
Why? Do you want a weaker rand?
Oh, no, I thought it was inverse. Sorry. So we actually want unemployment to go down in America.
Yes. So unfortunately for them, that's what we want, so that we can get a stronger rand.
I got you. All right. Cool.
Okay. And then a couple of companies, Sun International, yesterday announced that they have met all the conditions for the merger of the Sun International Latin America business with Dreams SA, it's called. Wow. So they're creating a new entity now called Sun Dreams. This business already has about $100 million of EBITDA. They're 1.8 times geared. They've got a self-imposed limit of 3 times gearing, which means that they've got room to maneuver, and they've got debt that they can take up, and they can expand into Latin America, which really is the plan, you know. And they're looking to expand in countries that have fairly good GDP growth. So Panama, Colombia, they're about 4 to 6% GDP growth at the moment.
Right.
Chile and Peru on about 2. So quite exciting news, I think, because this is one of the shares we bought 2 weeks ago. And of course, we're holding on for this Menlyn main business to come online next year. So I'm just going to hold on to that share. Some bad news for Nampak, unfortunately. They posted a 4% rise in half-year earnings yesterday. They've had a small turnaround in their glass and consumer business, but the share was down 13% yesterday. I think there's two problems here. One is that they've got exposure in African countries where getting currency is difficult. So we saw it with Tiger Brands as well. You know, for Tiger Brands, they didn't get paid for 6 weeks of the first quarter because the Mozambican operations couldn't translate their money, the local currency, into US dollars, which is how they pay the holding company. Nampak seems to be going through the same thing. And of course, they're worried about subdued growth on the continent, volatile currencies, low commodity prices, that sort of thing. And then they're doing an interesting thing. They're doing a sale leaseback agreement with 15 of their properties, which they own. They're selling and then leasing them back. They're going to get about 1.7 billion rand in proceeds from the sale of these businesses, which they're going to use to write down the debt, which I would have thought is a good thing, but investors just didn't like it. And of course, I think the other problem is that they didn't pay a dividend, and that's probably why the share was down 13% yesterday.
Right.
And then poor old Lewis Furniture Group. I mean, their troubles never stop. Yesterday, a guy called David Willem, who used to be the FD, financial director of African Bank, he's kind of insider-turned-shareholder activist. He wrote a letter to the chairman of Lewis demanding that they commence proceedings to declare 4 of the board members delinquent directors.
Yo, what does that mean? Explain that to people who don't know, like me.
So, but you know that Lewis have had problems with the National Credit Regulator, who has now put them forward to the National Credit Tribunal,
right?
Because they were charging people excess, one for insurance and for this magazine that they put out every month. And so David Willem has said, well, really, it's the board's fiduciary duty to ensure that these things don't happen in a company. And he's right, kind of to a point. And so basically he's asking for them to be fired and for the board to be replaced. It's the CEO, the CFO, one of the non-executive directors, and someone else I can't remember who.
Jeez, all right.
So Lewis have responded by appointing an independent subcommittee. They sought legal counsel. And I think this is my favorite part of this story, is that they're applying for the court to set aside Mr. Willem's demands on the grounds that it is frivolous, vexatious, and without merit.
Sounds like they're hitting back hard.
Exactly. But I just love the language.
Yeah.
Vexatious.
It's very legalese, by the way.
Yes. I mean. And then we had new vehicle sales numbers yesterday from Department of Trade and Industry. Locally fell by 10% in May. Exports were slightly higher compared to the month ahead. And so, of course, not good for a company like Imperial, who kind of salvaged themselves yesterday by announcing that they were buying a UK business called Palletways, which is a delivery or consignment, small consignment delivery business. And I think Mark Lamberti, who's the CEO of Imperial, is really doing his best to turn this business around. You know, it's the car leasing, they sell imported cars, that sort of thing. And of course, in this environment, very difficult. He's already sold down the short-term insurance business of Imperial and now expanding into the UK and doing what a lot of South African companies are doing, diversifying their revenue stream. So I think there'll be a good opportunity to buy Imperial shares. Actually, while I'm talking about good opportunities, I must tell you what happened with Mr. Price yesterday.
Yeah.
So we spoke about this yesterday.
This sounds like some gossip.
No, this is just an insight into kind of my trading world. So we were talking about Mr. Price, and I was saying, oh, it really looks like they're turning around. We sold our shares when the company struggled or put out bad results last year. And then I didn't buy any because I wasn't sure. The share was up 8% yesterday.
Right.
And nothing annoys me more than missing out on an 8% rally in a share. Oh. This, yeah. So just kind of, you know, if you're going to make a decision, I think you need to go with it. Kind of. So I think there'll be another chance to buy Mr. Price because the market does feel like it's a bit heavy and is consolidating. But I am a bit annoyed that I missed out yesterday. So I'm not buying them today. I'm going to wait for it to come down because I think it will have momentum. At least yesterday showed that it has a bit of momentum.
Okay.
There you go. Some trading insights for the day.
Cool.
And that's it.
That's
Asia
it.
A bit higher this morning.
Now, a lot of people are also asking, next week, can we talk about the Brexit?
Oh, absolutely. We must. There was a poll
yesterday. If the Brexit
yesterday.
Happens.
Yeah. So yesterday, the results of the poll said that it was 52% in favor of a Brexit and only 48% said they wanted to stay in the EU.
Sure. So what is, I mean, we'll have to go into the detail of this because it could have wide-ranging implications, not only for import and export in Britain, also for the currencies and possibly a whole lot of shares too that are very tight, very closely tied to what goes on in Europe, right?
Exactly. We have lots of exposure in Europe. We've got Capital and Counties. We've got Steinhoff. We've now got Imperial. Mm. So, yes, I think this is quite a deep conversation. Shall we do it on Monday?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
All right.
You can come in and we can spend a bit of time.
Super. I shall speak to you tomorrow then.
Dominic just has a question for you before you go. Anthea must see or suspect a lot of skullduggery in her line of business. Can she not come up with a conspiracy theory for us?
Oh dear.
Well, you know, there are those people who say that the central banks all over the world are, you know, they're in cahoots and that they're basically running the show and that all of us are slaves to the central banks.
Yes. I'm not a great conspiracy theorist, but I certainly know of one or two. So yes, I shall mention them in the coming days, Dominic.
All right. Thank you very much, Anthea. We'll catch you tomorrow morning.
All right. Cheers.
Very good. There we go. It's Anthea Gardner. With the money. She works hard for the money.
We have worked out that if we want to have conspiracy theories, Duncan has to be present in the room.
He came to me yesterday. He said, oh, I heard they want more conspiracy theories from me. So I said, yes, Duncan. I said, you are wearing glasses. Is this a new thing? So he said, yeah, I'm watching my weight and I need glasses to watch.
Oh, my God.
And it's so cheesy. I almost fell off my chair. And he thinks he's very funny, Duncan Mavaso. And he's not, but he thinks he's very funny. All right, let's get on with it. It's 7 o'clock. Now, if you're waiting for Justice Malala, I'm afraid I've got bad news for you. He's not going to be with us today because he's flying to Durban, and his flight is exactly at the time that we wanted to talk to him. So we're going to have to chat to Justice tomorrow, and you'll still get the burning platform, but it'll have to wait a day. I hope that's okay. And then a couple of other messages before we get to 7 o'clock in the news. Cyfred, it's Cyfred, not Sifred, he says to me. You're a douche, Gareth, pronounce it right. Okay, Cyfred. Question for Ben. I know you're against supplements and all that gym brew shit, but do you use pre-workout? Do you take muscle recovery aids? Is it all bullshit? What is good to look into? What is shit? I don't want to get cancer in the egg sac by 35. Please advise.
Very good question, and you did wrap up a lot of things. Pre-workouts are great because it's a motivating factor both physically and mentally. It has a bit of a push. But just stay away from these really mass-produced things that are basically bordering on ephedrine. You know, you can just research natural... Like, this is the great thing about internet. You get all the answers, right? Just research natural pre-workout. You might be blending things with sweet potatoes before you know it, but it'll be okay. And then with regards to recovery, glutamine, always take that kind of stuff. It's very good. I can't guarantee you won't get cancer because everything gives you cancer eventually. And when it comes to supplements, try a pea protein-based protein shake. It's higher in protein. It's better for you. And I think it won't back you up as much either.
Oh. All right. Thank you, Ben. Have we got Bussy on the line? don't know, my phone is going crazy here. Oh, here's Bussy. Hello, Bussy. How are you?
Fine, and you? Morning, everyone.
What's up?
Listen, I've been meaning to ask you this for months now, but every time I try to call, like, it's stuck in traffic, it doesn't matter. Did you ever get that limitless drug?
No.
Why not?
Because our post office loses everything. So it went missing somewhere in the post, and I actually didn't even want to talk about it. Now you've upset me because you reminded me that I wasted money.
No, because I've been thinking about this for months, and I'm like, oh my God, I wonder if it worked. What happened to that?
No, I mean, you haven't noticed me getting extra smart suddenly, have you? If anything, I'm going backwards.
So, I mean, they can't deliver it straight to you. I mean, do you have...
I'm still trying out a bunch of different things, and... I'm trying to find the right formula. I'm trying to find, because these smart drugs exist. Some of them make you stay awake longer. They make you focus better. You know, a lot of them are on the shelves, or rather prescriptions that you can get fairly easily. They're not, you know, dangerous drugs to have. There are some contraindications. I'm no doctor, but I'm trying out a few of them, and so far I've not found any magic formula.
Okay, well, keep us posted then.
I will. I will be your guinea pig.
Thank you, because I'm keen, but I'm not going to try anything, so I'm just waiting for you.
All right, so I'll try. If I don't die, then, you know, I'll tell you and you can try.
Okay, awesome. I'm going to check up on you again.
All right, Bussy. Thank you very much. Bye. Thank you, honey. Bye-bye. There we go. It's Bussy trying to find out whether or not I'll sacrifice myself so that she can discover the secrets to all of these amazing things, these drugs, these smart drugs. And they do exist, and they do work. All right, we'll come back in a little while, and we'll have plenty to talk about. I know Mubs has got things that she's got on her agenda in terms of news, and hopefully you're keeping warm this morning. Sure, electric blanket time is here. Fireplace time is here. Soup on the stove is here. Feel it, it is here.
Body heat.
Body heat.
Cuddling is here.
This is the time that Mubs usually takes on a relationship just for the 3 or 4 months of winter, and then she gets rid of him.
Yeah. Yeah.
The end of it.
Get rid of it like an old blanket. And also Dicks of History.
Oh, Dicks of History today. Very exciting.
Yeah, Dick of History is back.
We didn't get it on Tuesday?
Special edition. No, we didn't get it on Tuesday.
It was very controversial on Tuesday that we didn't get to it, Gareth.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well,
he forgot.
Oh, right.
Look, so there was more to it than that. We'll get into it in the second hour.
Very good. So, all of that's on the way. CliffCentral.com. Good morning. CliffCentral.com.